Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Thursday, April 9th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast is The Fed's Gravy Train Continues. This is actually a headline from their own website. No, I'm kidding. But it might as well be. The Fed's gravy train continues. Yesterday we were saying free was never so expensive. We should have waited, ladies and gentlemen, one more day, so we could add another $2.3 trillion to the mix. I have no idea what the total number is. I have no idea what it's going to end up being. All I know is it's going to be huge. Times huge again. These people are completely out of control. They have been out of control with their fraudulent, criminal monetary policy for the past decade. It is now on overdrive. I am going to discuss again with this audience the weekly update of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet on the asset side of the ledger, because the liability side of the ledger when it comes to the Federal Reserve are their Federal Reserve notes, more commonly referred to as U.S. dollars. Reach into your pocket if you still have cash, take out a dollar bill and look at it. It says this is a Federal Reserve note. That is their liability. Well, who's responsible for that? Well, of course, they are, and they have the printing press, but really at the end of the day, what gives the dollar any type of value is the faith and confidence in it, of the institution that backs it. Well, who backs the Federal Reserve? We do. We back the Federal Reserve. Follow the money. See who ends up with it. And with the Federal Reserve and other central banks the world over buying up every asset under the sun, they're going to own everything. But we're going to talk about their balance sheet, the asset side of the ledger, because those numbers were updated. Slightly above $6 trillion, by the way, as we stated it would be. I'm actually surprised it wasn't higher. I figured it would be somewhere in the $6 trillion. It's just slightly above $6 trillion. But nevertheless, when you understand the numbers, they are still off the charts. But the Federal Reserve wants to come out, and investment-grade bonds weren't good enough. Of course, they're going to continue to buy them. But that tranche of the corporate debt market wasn't enough. It wasn't good enough. Now they got to start dipping their toes into high-yield junk bonds. Unbelievable, isn't it? These companies issue debt, earns a junk rating. Those who buy this debt know this. This is not having some sort of cloth thrown over your head, walking in blind into a dark room, not knowing what you're getting yourself into. You are buying junk. It is not called junk as an oxymoron. It is junk. There is a higher probability of default. You know what you're getting yourself into. You bear the risk. Not anymore. No. Not in the United States of America. Free market capitalism. Shot. Dead. Pronounced dead at the scene generations ago. It's gone. Can't have it. Can't have anybody paying the cost when things go south. So now the Federal Reserve is going to come up with another $2.3 trillion out of nowhere, and part of this is going to buy up some of the junk bond market. It's absolutely sickening. It's disgusting. Talk about moral hazard. Go as far out onto the risk curve as you want. Don't worry about it. If your bet goes south and you're in the good old boys club, you're going to be taken care of, Jack. We're going to print money to save your rear end. Don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. But all those other people who said, yeah, I don't like junk because it's junk. And of course, you can make a lot of money in the junk bond market, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about it. Some people make big, big money in the junk bond market. Okay, but you have to have that risk tolerance. And you have to understand what you're doing. But some people say, well, you know, I don't want to be out that far on the risk curve getting into junk bonds. You know, I want to stay triple B. Maybe I want double A, triple A, right? Well, man, did those people lose out. They could have went into the junk bond market, got yields of 7, 8, 9, 10%. And then when the bonds start to sell off, they just could have waited for the Federal Reserve to step in and say, hey, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to backstop this. You get to keep all those fancy coupon payments that you earned. And we're going to make sure you don't lose much on the principal either. Unbelievable. This is like the Twilight Zone. It's every day. It's like Groundhog's Day here. What are they going to come up with next? Who's going to pay for it? Free was never so expensive. Nobody even asked this question. You know, more and more you start to hear people on the mainstream news, even some of the alternative media that I hear, that I listen to, some of the interviews. You got people coming on almost starting to buy into the insanity of modern monetary theory. Thinking, oh, well, you know, you can do it. You can print money to infinity and beyond. You can have deficits as big as you want them to be. And it really doesn't matter. Well, then why the hell did it take us 100 years to come to this conclusion? Why so long? We've had a printing press here for a long time. We've been printing money here for a very long time. We've been down this asinine economic experiment for the past decade. Why now, all of a sudden, have the light bulbs gone off? Oh, all we have to do is print money and everything will be A-okay. Why doesn't that work for Argentina? Why doesn't that work for Zimbabwe and Iran and Turkey? Why didn't that work for Germany, the Weimar Republic? Because it doesn't work. But I guess if you can convince enough of the idiots to believe that it does, I guess it's going to be able to have some juice for a little while. How long? I have no idea. I have no idea. But that's what they're doing, and they are not stopping. There is no end in sight. We talked about it yesterday, how former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke, and Janet Yellen both are dancing around it. Well, maybe the Congress needs to look at amending the Federal Reserve Act and allowing the Federal Reserve to buy equities outright. What are they going to? Are they just going to own everything? They're going to own everything. A $6 trillion balance sheet, buying U.S. treasuries because nobody else seems to want them. Because if they did, you wouldn't have to have the Federal Reserve coming in as the buyer. Very logical. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here. Mortgage-backed securities, which they were doing before in previous versions of quantitative easing, on the residential side of things. Now, residential isn't enough. Just like investment-grade bonds aren't enough. Now they have to go into junk bonds, and now they have to go into commercial-backed mortgage securities. All right? Because what's taking place right now? A lot of businesses are shut down. That's commercial real estate. All the bars, all the restaurants, all the retail outlets, which were already suffering before COVID-19, were suffering. Now you have a whole bunch of people who are working from home. How many small businesses who are allowing their employees to work from home, mid-sized and even your larger corporations, saying, hey, well, you know what? Let's run the numbers here, because that's what they're supposed to do. Let's see how productive we have been over this quarantine, over this lockdown, with everybody working from home, or a significant portion of them. Well, my goodness, it might just be the case with some of them, maybe a lot of them, I don't know, but it could be a possibility that people are just as productive working from home as they are in the office, maybe even more so. They might be happier working from home because they don't got to deal with traffic. They don't have to deal with the idiots in traffic. They don't have to deal with people in line at Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's. I'm here, have my breakfast, cup of coffee, whatever your routine is. I don't have to fight traffic. I don't have to pump gas. Don't have to deal with it. I can get straight to work, get things done, bada bing, bada boom. People might be more productive. So now somebody's going to scratch their head, right? They're going to say, oh my goodness, we're paying all this rent, all this commercial real estate to have all these people come to work. They're just as productive at home, maybe more so. We don't need this much space anymore. Maybe we can have a staggered schedule. People can come in, share offices, share desks, because we don't need them here every day of the week. So we don't need all this rent money. We don't need all this square footage. That's going to have downward pressure on commercial real estate in conjunction with retail, hotels, restaurants, bars, everything, you name it. You understand the daisy chain effect here, the ripple effect? This is just the tip of the iceberg. And the market's recent rally is predicated off of the Fed's gravy train in conjunction with the Federal Reserve's gravy train, which is financed by the Federal Reserve. Why? Because Uncle Sam is broke as a joke. He doesn't have money. So he needs a buyer. That's the Federal Reserve. We have initial claims numbers out for this week. Well, for the past week, but came out today. 6 million people again. No, it was 6.6 million. This is unbelievable. Over the past 3 weeks, you're talking 16 million Americans have filed for unemployment over the past 3 weeks. And of course, next week, we'll find out what happened this week. 16 million, that's real. These are real people. These are real households. These are real families. Many of them live paycheck to paycheck. Many of them are in those types of industries that don't pay that well, that are not high-quality jobs. Of course, a paycheck's a paycheck. It helps. But if you're in retail, if you're a bartender or a waitress, you know, maybe you're making some good money, but not fantastic for the average. What's going to happen here? These people, we already know the numbers. People living paycheck to paycheck. 30 to 40% of households not having $400 in cash. Using credit cards to make ends meet. So what happens when you get your tax refund back, if you've already filed? What happens when you get your $1,200? What happens when you get maybe an additional $600 on top of your unemployment? If you can get it, it's a nightmare trying to file for many, many people, which is part of the delay why you're going to continue to see these types of numbers in the millions. And then it's ridiculous to think that once this is all cleared up, that everybody's just going to go right back to work. That's just, it's so irresponsible of people to even think that that is a possibility, because it's not. It's not. And it's a travesty. I take no pleasure in saying this, but that's just the reality of things. You have to understand the reality of things. I want to be optimistic. I'm an optimistic person by nature, but I'm not going to lie to myself or to this audience just to make everybody feel better. That's not how it works. You want to solve a problem, you have to identify that a problem exists. Markets have to be allowed to clear. It's a travesty. 16 million people. How many households is that? How many of those people have underlying health conditions? How many people, all of them, lost their health insurance? Now you're going to get $1,200. How much is your monthly premium going to be? It could easily be $1,200. Probably more, especially if you're married and have kids. Especially if any one of them has an underlying health condition. So there's your money, in one pocket, out the other, immediately. What about rent? What about your mortgage? What about your car payment? What about your credit card payments? What about your utilities? What about internet? Because you have to have internet, especially if you have kids, because most kids' schools are closed. But they have cyber school. Well, they need the internet. So even if you were going to say, okay, we're going to cut back on some of these nice little luxuries that we take for granted, but we're going to cut back on some of these things, some of them you can't do. In one pocket, out the other immediately. You're a conduit. You're a pass-through. That's all this is. Some people might be able to save the money if they've been, if they have a decent balance sheet to begin with. That's a good thing. But it's not going to show up well on GDP figures, which is what the government and the president and the White House are all concerned about, and the Federal Reserve. It's all about GDP, GDP, GDP. Completely stripping the humanity out of society. Making everybody, not a human being, but a human resource. You're an input. That's it. Create an output. Go home. That's it. We're going to promise you a pension. You ain't getting it. We're going to promise you Social Security. You ain't getting it. And that's another thing in all of this. This is a quasi-bailout of Social Security, too. Because Social Security is funded through the payroll tax. Nobody's working. No payroll tax. So where's the money going to come from? Oh, that's right. We're going to have to issue more debt. The Federal Reserve's going to have to buy it because nobody else is buying it. If you had other countries buying our debt, if you had institutions buying our debt, if you had wealthy individuals buying our debt, at a clip big enough to satiate the demand, you wouldn't need the Federal Reserve to come in as the buyer of it to monetize our debt, which is what you do in a banana republic. Right? So there's nobody in there buying. We got a lot of people selling U.S. treasuries, other countries selling U.S. treasuries. Why? Because they need the U.S. dollars to pay off their debts that are U.S. dollar denominated. Understand the picture? It's quite simple. But how many people on Bloomberg or CNBC or Fox Business is going to explain this to you? That's why I harp on this point all the time. Free was never so expensive. Who's going to pay for it? How's it going to be paid for? Here's your $1,200, sit down and shut up. Here's trillions to Wall Street. No strings attached. Don't worry about a thing. It's not your fault you squandered your resources. This came out of left field. Not your fault. Don't worry about all the financial engineering you did. Don't worry about how you wasted and squandered all your resources. Wasn't your fault. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have the American taxpayer bail you out. Don't worry about a thing. It's going to have to be them, even though they're not working. They're not generating anything. It's going to be them. They're going to pay for it. Don't worry about it. We're going to take care of the airlines, the cruise industry, the hotels, so everybody. Don't worry. Energy's next. Sometimes the president wants low energy costs. Oh, it's a great tax cut, best thing ever. Now, well, they're low, but hey, what about the energy sector? They can't have these prices. Stay out of it. It's not the job of the president, is what I'm talking about. Not your job to interfere in the economy. Get out of it. Do not pick winners and losers. But that's exactly what our government has been doing under the Bush administration. I mean, a lot longer, but now in this sort of hyper overdrive scenario in which we've been in for the past few administrations. You got the Bush administration, the Obama administration, and now the Trump administration, picking winners and losers. And this happened before. Clinton, all of them, go back, doesn't matter. I'm just talking about overdrive now in this new bailout, too big to fail era and nation in which we are. That's what I'm talking about. Picking winners and losers. Ah, well, you look, Leah, you gave, how much money did you give me again? Oh, yeah, you're going to get bailed out. All right, go sit down over there. Don't worry, we're going to get you a check. Take it easy, take it easy. Who are you? I've never seen you before. Yeah, you're going to have to go over there. Maybe you'll get something. $1,200, sit down, shut up. Maybe, if you're lucky. We'll see what happens. Go over there, we'll see when you get it. Okay? But you got to file, you got to do this, that, and the other thing first. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people in front of you, but you'll get through one point or another. Don't worry about it. Oh, yeah, but I got kids, I got to pay for all that. Yeah, go sit down, go ahead. That's what they're doing. Your $1,200 is sit down, shut up money. Can't stress this to this audience enough. Because if it just went straight to Wall Street like it did last time, there'd be pitchforks and torches in the street already. And I do think that's still going to happen, unfortunately. Because this $1,200 ain't going to cut it. Just use some common sense what people have to pay for. What they have to go through. Student debt. I mean, a whole bunch of things. People got so much debt. So many costs to live. It's just not going to go that far. Even if you're married, okay, there's another $1,200. Maybe you got a kid or two. That's another $500. $1,000. It'll go fast. Got to pay for food, too. We're going to start seeing shortages in food, which is going to cause a spike in prices. This is all logically deduced. These are all the dots. You have to connect them. You have to paint the picture, right? All of your economic puzzle pieces out there, you got to put them together. As complex as it might be, and as many pieces as there might be, weird shape, different colors, different shape, you know, everything. You have to put them together. You have to understand that in some form, they're all interconnected. And you have to paint the picture. And when you see that picture, you have to be honest with yourself with what it tells you. Not with what you wish it was, not what you want it to be, not what it could be, what it is. And from there, you can then start to solve some of the problems. Of course, our government, our Federal Reserve, is going down the wrong path. But that's the wrong path for the average American. It's seemingly the right path for their buddies, for the elites, for corporate America. For those who squandered their resources, for those who levered themselves up 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe more times to one. Well, you took risk. You tried. You gave it the old college try there, Rick. You messed up, but don't worry. We got your back, Jack. The American taxpayer will be happy to back you. Don't worry about a thing. So the Federal Reserve is going to buy junk, investment-grade bonds, mortgage-backed securities on the residential and commercial side, of course, U.S. Treasuries across the entire yield curve. Got to keep those yields down, baby. Got to keep them down so Uncle Sam can borrow like a drunken idiot for a long time. And at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, what do we have to show for this? That is still a question I have. What do we have to show for this when it's all said and done? The trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that are being spent, where's it going? What are we getting for this on the other side? Where's the massive stimulus bill? And do we even trust that that would be fantastic? Probably not. Where's the great improvements in our education system? Where is it? Where is it? What do we have to show for this when it's all said and done? You propped up a whole bunch of businesses that should have went out of business. You propped up a whole bunch of zombie companies that were already in business that should have been out of business before the onset of COVID-19. Now you're giving them more juice. You're giving them more adrenaline to stay alive for a little bit longer. Sucking away the market share that would have went to the corporations and entrepreneurs that did the right thing, that had a healthy balance sheet. In addition to those individuals who were prudent and did the right thing and had and have a healthy balance sheet. You are squandering, you are taking away their opportunity to buy assets for pennies on the dollar. To give themselves an even stronger balance sheet. Because nothing's free, ladies and gentlemen. If you're bailing somebody out, somebody's got to be doing the bailing. It's got to be coming from somewhere. The Federal Reserve is not filled with a bunch of monetary fairies. Well, they might be, a different type. But you understand what I'm saying. Because there's no way that it took mankind this long to figure it out that all you got to do is print money and everything will be A-okay. We have a national debt that is now basically eclipsed $24 trillion. No surprise, we're going to have a deficit that is going to be $3-4 trillion with no end in sight. That's just this year. What's going to happen next year when everybody starts to realize, oh my goodness, there were behavioral changes as a result of COVID-19. And not just because of COVID-19, but because of the fact that this revealed how weak everybody's balance sheet was on average. Oh, I can't do that. I can't go out every weekend anymore. I can't get table and bottle service with sparkling champagne, with sparklers that light up so everybody knows what I'm buying. I can't do that every weekend anymore. I can't do happy hour twice a week, once with colleagues, once with friends. I'm going to have to make a decision, only once a week maybe. Maybe none. Oh, I used to go out, I used to have 6 drinks. Now I'm going to have 3 or 4 maybe. Can't do it. There are going to be so many behavioral changes, at least right off the bat, for a handful of months, maybe a quarter or two, maybe longer. Maybe longer, because this thing could recycle itself. COVID-19, there could be another outbreak. The second wave could hit. We know, by historical standards, there's typically at least 2 waves of these types of things. Sometimes there's 3. Now, hopefully next time, we're better prepared. Hopefully there's better therapies. The vaccine will be further along in the process, hopefully. But you still have to do all of your safety testing, efficacy, all that. But you understand my point. Behavior is going to change. There's no question. So many businesses are not going to be able to open their doors again. The ripple effects, the suppliers, everybody, the suppliers of the suppliers. Global trade is contracting. That is a rarity. That global trade contracts because somebody somewhere is typically growing enough to maybe keep everybody up. Great financial crisis, that was China. China kept growing. Boom, 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 boom. Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. That they don't have either, by the way. But everybody thinks, well, there's 1.4 billion people. There's a Chinese Communist Party. Command, control, economy. Everything must be fantastic. Believing a bunch of liars and con men in the Chinese Communist Party. A bunch of supposed free market capitalists here in the United States saying, oh, well, the best economic model is having 1.4 billion people in a communist party command control. That's great. This is complete nonsense. This is a crime. It's a financial coup d'etat. And if you don't understand this, get your head examined. Go read a book. Don't listen to this podcast anymore if you can't understand this by now. It's in your face. A balance sheet at $6 trillion on the Federal Reserve. Owning everything except equities, yet. It's coming, don't worry. Especially if there's another big leg down in the markets. That's what everybody will say. Well, if we're not going to shut the markets down, well, let's amend the Federal Reserve Act. Let's allow the Federal Reserve to buy up shares. So that they're going to own everything. They're going to own the debt payments. So every time a corporation makes a debt payment, who gets the coupon? The Federal Reserve. This is making the Federal Reserve more powerful. Now you could say, well, maybe the Federal Reserve's nationalized under this and then all the money's just going to transfer right to the Treasury. Well, what's that going to do? What's that going to do? Because the Treasury is taking on additional debt too. So it's basically going to be a swap. Federal Reserve buys up $10 trillion worth of debt. But if the U.S. Treasury adds an additional $10 trillion, but then they get paid back, you're still where you are today. You're still responsible for another $20, $24 trillion. And that still doesn't take into consideration all of the costs and negative consequences of all of this cheap money, which is going to rear its ugly head in inflation and hyperinflation. And there's a big debate out there. Some, well, it's going to be deflation. Now it's going to be inflation. Look, you can have both. It's a process. It's a process. It demands on the goods and services in which you're talking about. Depends on the assets in which you are talking about. But I think the cost of living, yeah, it's going to go through the roof for you, unfortunately. Cost of food, because that's what everybody's going to be looking for, all of those necessities. And if everybody's going to get an extra $1,200, an extra $600 on top of their unemployment, and the Fed's just going to keep printing, and the government's just going to keep spending money that they don't have, that's where it's going to find itself. And God forbid we end up in another war. Well, there goes your commodity prices. There goes your utility bill. There goes your gasoline prices. One thing after the next. Just to go down this daisy chain again with another major industry, global industry, is the auto industry, the auto sector. You know, people were buying, they were leasing trucks, SUVs, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 vehicles that depreciate as soon as you drive them off the lot. Oh, well, I can afford the payment of $500, $600 a month. Can you? Can you now? Let's see. That's why defaults on auto loans are higher than where they were during the great financial crisis. And this was before the onset of COVID-19. Because this economy, in addition, in conjunction with the global economy, was slowing down before the onset of COVID-19. Now you have that convenient excuse. Blame it on a pandemic. It's unbelievable. We can't make this stuff up. It is the Twilight Zone. The hits just keep on coming. And you're the one who's got to keep paying for it. Lower standards of living, higher debt, because your government is picking up more debt. You're responsible for it. You're the taxpayer. Losing your job, losing opportunities in the future, educational opportunities, you name it, the whole thing. This is what I'm talking about. This is what debt is. Pulls future consumption and production from the future forward to today. But you got to pay that with interest. So it's just, it's a crazy, rabid dog chasing his tail. And if he catches it, what's he going to do with it? Utter nonsense. And we continue to do this. And I'm going to put up, hopefully it's up here this week, another video of Capital Economics, because I want to show you, if you haven't taken the time to actually go on the Federal Reserve's website to look up their balance sheet and the asset side of the ledger, I'm going to do a brief video just so you understand what we're talking about here. Because when I say this thing is off the charts, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Because we're only going to focus on one chart. That's going to be it. Just the asset side. And I know I say it's going to be a short video, but I might go on a tangent. Who knows how long it's going to be? But it's only going to be one slide of data. And that's it. And you're going to have it in the context. And we've looked at this before in a previous Capital Economics presentation, I think back in last July. We said, are central banks trapped? And of course, the answer was yes. And they remain trapped. Now, they could have came out and told us the truth, but that's never an option with these people. There is no leadership in our government, in central banks, none whatsoever. So you cannot expect the truth. So you're not going to get that. So the answer was yes, central banks are trapped. They shot themselves in the foot. They screwed themselves over. And in addition, us, we the people, with it. But guess what? They're going to put the pedal to the metal. That's exactly what they're doing. That's why we have a Federal Reserve's balance sheet of $6 trillion. Just moving at hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, at a clip. In the repo markets, in the bond markets, corporate and government, commercial paper, real estate, the Fed's gravy train. Be well connected. That's how you're going to get the money. I guess it's free market capitalism for the average Joe, but it's socialism for the upper echelons of society. Now, this country, is, along with many others, can only tolerate these stress levels for so long. I can only imagine the thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of individuals who are hurting very much so right now. And they can't get through to their unemployment office because so many other people are hurting, but they got on the phone just a half a second quicker than they did. And they need the money. What are they going to do? How many credit cards have people opened over the past month just to make ends meet? Get what I'm saying here? This is never ending when they go down this path. If they thought it was such a success before, and you come to this realization over the past month and a half, then you have to understand that it wasn't. It wasn't a success. It was an abysmal failure. But again, there's not going to be any coming to Jesus moment. There's not going to be any internal reflection. Was it us? Did we make a mistake? Could we have done something wrong? No, of course not. We're from Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. How could we have made a mistake? Determining the cost of capital, of course we know what we're doing. Pulling on all of the levers of the economy, of course. We understand all of the interconnectedness of everything. And if I push this button or I push on that, I know exactly what's going to happen downstream. The arrogance of these people is insulting. And you're paying for it. In so many ways, it's not even funny. It's criminal. But not one of these jokers is going to be prosecuted. Not one of these jokers is going to be locked up for any type of economic crime against humanity because they were well-intentioned and because they had a PhD from somewhere and they think they're smarter than everybody. Well, I didn't know that was going to happen. I mean, hell, this pandemic came out of nowhere. I had nothing to do with that. But of course, before all of this nonsense, it was the best economy ever. But we get shut down for 1 month and they're spending money like it's going out of style. If it was booming, everybody's balance sheet should have been booming as well. But we know that's not the case. Debt is a facade. It's a mirage. But that's what this president knows because that's how he's built his empire, off of debt. He calls himself the king of debt. This is what he understands. Not that well, but it's how he's made it through life. Let's just take on more debt, more debt, more debt. And when I have so much debt, well, now I own the bank. And now I'm in a position to negotiate. Well, who's he going to negotiate with this time? Because it's the government that has all of this debt. It's we the people. Who's it going to be negotiated with? Who's going to buy up all of this debt? You want to take a stab at it? China's not buying anymore. They don't want it. So many other emerging markets don't want it either because they can't. They need the cash. They're sellers. Social Security is probably selling it too because they need the cash because people aren't working. No payroll tax. No payroll. No payroll tax. No payroll tax. No Social Security. Talk about Ponzi scheme. Talk about crime. Social Security. What else do we have in other news? Market performance. Stocks were up. I mean, despite the fact that you have a colossal number of people filing for unemployment. You know, the stock market, they don't give a damn. These crackheads don't care. I mean, this can be chalked up as is crackhead behavior because this is completely illogical. But the markets were up and they were way up earlier in the day, but they pulled back, except the Russell 2000, which is up 4 or 5%. That's still going. What else? Commodity markets. You would think with OPEC Plus today coming to an agreement, oil would have been taking off. And it was earlier, but then it pulled back significantly. And you have WTI down 7%, trading at $23.24 a barrel. Brent pulled back almost 3%, trading at $31.89 a barrel. Natural gas is down 2%, trading at $1.75 per million British thermal units. Excuse me. Gold and silver had a nice day. Gold is up $1,683 an ounce. Silver is also up $15.45. An ounce. Uncle Sam's 10-year treasury is yielding 0.73%. 5%. So that's that across the board. That's some of the news there. OPEC Plus, of course, they finally got together, made some sort of decision. Of course, it is a cartel. How well is it going to hold up? We don't know. But here's what we got. OPEC and allied oil producers, a group known as OPEC Plus, agreed on Thursday to cut output by 10 million barrels per day. 10 million barrels per day in May and in June to help prop up the battered prices. It said the cuts would be eased between July and December to 8 million barrels per day, and the reductions would then be relaxed further to 6 million barrels per day between January of 2021 to April of 2022. OPEC Plus said it would hold another video conference meeting on June the 10th to assess the market. Well, you know my analysis and opinion on this. This will be short-lived to the oil markets. I mean, my goodness, even the fact that it came out, they're still down 7%. Look, folks, the only thing, in my opinion, that can raise oil prices and keep them up there is war. So if that's what you want, then that's what you're going to have to sign up for, because we've seen massive supply shocks from a geopolitical standpoint. Saudi Arabian oil fields getting hit, Iranian tankers, Japanese tankers getting hit, drone strikes getting hit, you know, back and forth. We know, we talk about these things all the time. You want sustained higher oil prices? Do you? You're not working? Want to pay higher prices at the pump? I don't think so. But if you do, then hope for war, because that'll make that happen on a sustained basis. So there you have it. The Fed's gravy train continues. We covered a lot here today, as we normally do, I think. Another $2.3 trillion from the Federal Reserve is going to come in out of nowhere. Remember, it was only a few weeks ago in their emergency meeting where they were going, where they announced $700 billion in quantitative easing. Remember that? $700 billion? No strings attached. No saying, yeah, it's going to be $100 billion a month for 7 months or cutting it up anyway like that. No, we're just going to use it when we want. That lasted, what, a few days? $700 billion? Now they're in the trillions. We talked about this again in our capital economics presentation. Our central bank strap. We said if they're going to go down this road, it's going to make QE1, QE2, Operation Twist, and QE3 look like child's play. And if you look at the graph, the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, we nailed that one too. And this is just getting started. It's just the tip of the iceberg. So you can either check that out for yourself on the Federal Reserve's website, Fred, Federal Reserve Economic Data, or you can come to the Capital News and check out our upcoming video presentation on that as well. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. The markets will be closed tomorrow, so I will probably be taking a day off as well for Easter. But happy Passover, happy Easter to everybody out there. Enjoy your time if you can with your families. I'm sure some of you will be, maybe some of you will be traveling. Most of you will probably just be staying home with your nuclear family. That's fine. Nevertheless, still have Skype and FaceTime and a whole bunch of things to reach out to some of your family members. But stay safe out there and do enjoy the holiday. And I will catch you back here either on the weekend, perhaps, if there's some breaking news for a week ahead segment, or we'll just be back on Monday. So enjoy. The Fed's gravy train continues. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out, leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.